Hey,
Hi.
got the funk. You got the funk. I am funky because we're the funk. Verse
Nice.
two. Oh,
I don't know the song.
it up.
Oh, there you go.
That
Okay. Verse two, A. No.
was.
I'm
Oh,
sorry.
God.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But
Basically, I was making up the song, and as my co-host, you were supposed to make up the second verse.
maybe if I'd given a little bit of the if I'd been given a little heads up, that might have worked a little bit
No,
better.
stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Have you learned nothing?
It's my day off, bro. I don't know what to tell you. I have been
If Rachel Berry,
vibing all day, just hanging
if
out.
Rachel Berry always has "Don't Rain on My Parade" on lock to perform at any time.
I am not
What
a
is
Rachel Berry. I love her. I will say I identify with her desire to be excellent, but I'm not the star. I'm not the star. I'm the
Oh.
music director. I am the accompanist. I am the executive producer, if you will.
Oh.
Yes, that is my
Serious. It's giving Ryan Murphy, but also don't sell yourself short because you are a star.
Okay.
You are.
Thanks, Jasper.
Huh.
I would say you're much more, well, I don't want to say you're Rachel Berry because I think you are very different from Rachel, but I do think you carry
True.
that star quality easily.
Oh, thank
But you carry
you.
it well. You wear it well. Nope.
One. But anyways, we're gonna do the
RuPaul,
fun.
excuse you.
Oh, oops. Oh,
RuPaul, you don't know
I
RuPaul?
honestly don't know much about them.
We're gonna have to talk about. Okay, that's fine. I love you still.
Respect, but you know, I haven't caught up. I'm not caught up. Anyways, it's time to get funky, funky, funky. To the left. Take it back now,
Y'all.
y'all.
What happened this time? Okay, good.
Right, left,
We
anyway.
are talking episode 21. Oh my goodness, of
21.
21 of 22. And this episode is funk.
Woo-hoo.
Whew.
Yes.
21 out of 22. Oh my goodness.
Crazy. It's crazy we got here.
It feels
Here's the
unreal.
thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing. One, we're celebrating the fact we got this far, but also this episode is pretty iconic.
Oh, so
Now,
good.
I don't even remember this episode. I don't know what happened in my brain, but when I was watching this episode, it felt like brand new content to me. I don't
It's like I've never
know.
seen it before. Like I watched it and I like was like, oh, right. Like I was remembering it, but I had no idea what was going on until it happened. I don't know.
I don't think I processed what was actually happening in this episode, and I may have just like paid attention to some of the songs, but it really was full of content that was very important to, you know, how we end this first season.
Yes.
So like, I think we should get into it. We should get into like what
Yeah.
actually was going
There's
on.
so much that happened in this episode.
Yes.
We have Terry. Scary Terry is back in.
And I forgot about her, and boom, here she
Yeah,
is.
here she is. And so Terry and Will are finalizing their divorce. And
Yeah.
there's just, you know, a lot of emotions there, understandably. But that's how the episode opens, is they're, you know, they're sad and at the same time vocal adrenaline is like starting to get, what's the word, intimidated, honestly, by new directions. And
Yes.
they come to the school and they perform. And also, oh, I'm all over the place. There's so much that happens in this episode.
That happens. But yes, they
Yeah.
psych them out with
Yeah.
another one bites the dust.
Yes, by
And
Queen. Yes, there's definitely from in both this episode and the final episode, Journey to Regionals, vocal adrenaline is definitely on a Queen kick. Like, all of their music is by Queen. It's so good.
Yeah.
And they come in and they perform to kind of throw off. Well, and also not only do they perform, but Jesse St. James reveals his true intentions. Yeah. And he rejoins, or he says he transfers back to Carmel High School, which also, yeah, funnily enough, there's a Carmel High School that had a really good show choir in Southern California. I remember.
And that probably was where they got the name from, because it is filmed in California.
Yes, they're based in Ohio, so maybe there's a Carmel High School in Ohio too. I will say show choir is huge in the Midwest. It's big in California, but it's huge in the Midwest. Yeah, and Jesse St. James rejoins Vocal Adrenaline. Rachel's devastated, obviously, and the idea of this whole episode is that with the divorce and with Vocal Adrenaline, like, you know, intimidating new directions, basically trying to convince them that there's no way they could win regionals. Everyone is in a funk this episode.
Yes, so get it.
It is definitely a direct play on words.
Yeah. And they called it a funkification.
Yes.
Psyching them out.
Yeah. And all while this is going, Sue Sylvester, she kind of has like a roller coaster throughout this season where she's like really awful at the beginning. And then her story kind of like backs up a little bit and she kind of mellows out. But then like the end of the season, she's like back to being a jerk again. And is getting ready for her own like national championship with the Cheerios.
Right.
And is, you know, being a jerk. She's like walking around the Glee Club room going, oh, this is where I put my trophy. You know, you're not going to be here much longer. You know, just really, really digging into Will Schuster. What am I missing so far? There's more, but what am I missing so far?
Oh, no, just saying, I like how Will was like, hey, Sue, let me see your trophy. And he, like, tosses it to the side and breaks it into pieces.
Yeah. Also, the last two episodes, Mr. Schuster is, like, wild. Like,
I mean, wouldn't you be fed up? This is episode 21, and she's been annoying him since one.
Okay. Well, yes, I would say... I get how he's feeling. You're still an educator. You're still in front of children. You're not supposed to break other people's toys. Like, that's like kindergarten number one.
True. But also good for him, because she's out of control. She did things that could be considered against the law and get her arrested.
Oh, so is Will. Like, honestly. Sue more so, more consistently.
Sue 10 times more so. Will at least get a fair trial.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so also during all of this, Will is fed, like you said, Will's fed up. He's over it. Yeah, and his thought is he wants to get back at Sue. And his reasoning, or the way he wants to go about it, is he wants to seduce Sue Sylvester.
And
break her heart right before the competition that she's getting ready for.
Yo, not gonna lie.
It was weird.
Not gonna lie, it was weird, but he was spot on. The way he was like flattering her, he was like, oh, whoa, the light is hitting you so good right now.
Yeah, I spied to see what color tracksuit you're wearing so I could go get flowers that match with it. Oh my gosh. So yeah, so Will Shue.
He's also cute.
Low-key, if he was actually interested in her, very smooth. Like, honestly, great. Exactly. Which for a guy who married his high school sweetheart, he's got game. Like, I'm kind of impressed, honestly. And so he ends up seducing Sue. He says seducing Sue. Hey, you get to do Glee puns all the time. Let me have
them. You can have it.
Okay, thank you. He convinces her to go on a date with him the Wednesday before her competition on Saturday, and he stands her up.
Wow.
When they go to her in the restaurant, she's wearing like like a visibly like a very nice tracksuit. Like it looks like her formal tracksuit. And she's got like pearls on, and like I know we're not supposed to like her, but I'm like, oh, but Sue, like,
right,
she just wants to be loved too, you know? She just wants
to see it. You can see, I mean, it's revealed later, but you see her process in this, because she doesn't tap into like romantic feelings.
No, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was reflecting at the end of the episode about how she does feel like something is missing, that she does want a relationship.
Yeah.
But she's realizing that she doesn't even like Will. Like, she doesn't like him at all. Like, not even, like, as a friend. You know, right. Not even as a person. And yet, she was willing to, like, go out with him because, I mean, she doesn't say this literally, but because then it means, like, she's not alone or she's not on her own. But, like, she kind of, she has kind of this, like, eye-opening experience of, I don't even like this person and I'm like willing to go out with them. What does that say? So I mean, it doesn't go much deeper than that, but all throughout this episode we also have like tons of music. We have like a funk off between Mercedes and Quinn, which is amazing. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And also Quinn being like, the assignment is funk. And Mercedes being like, calm down, white girl. You don't get any funk. And she was like, funk is, what do they say? Funk is soul and anger. And I have plenty of both.
Oh my
God. Look at my life, girl.
And she does, girl. I mean, it's my favorite number of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Of this episode. And Quinn sings, it's a man's world, or it's a man's world.
Which I completely forget. I swear a black is episode of my memory.
And she has like backup dancers who are other pregnant teen moms. And
that was a little cringe. Are they allowed to do that?
Are who allowed to do what?
Allowed to like have teen moms dancing around.
Well, let's keep in mind that, are you talking about like literally in Hollywood, or are you talking about like if this happened in real life?
Ooh, I don't know what I'm saying. Well, just portraying like teen pregnancy.
Well, their main characters are a pregnant teen. What do you mean they can't portray this?
You're right. I don't know what I'm trying to say. The fact there was so many teen moms was a little cringy, but also, I mean, there was empowerment in it, but I think it was cringy because they were legitimately doing like hip hop and ballet with like being 8 months pregnant. And I don't know if that is something that like is possible.
Are you questioning if it's good that they did it or like?
I don't know. I don't know.
You're just wondering. It was cringy and we're trying to figure out why, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll say from my high school perspective, like, yeah, there was occasionally a teenager that got pregnant, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To my knowledge, and again, I was very far removed, like, honestly, I'm sure that there were things I totally missed in high school around this conversation because it was I was so far removed from it. But I don't know if I ever saw that many pregnant girls at the same time in high school. So is that why it's cringy? Is because there were so many, like there are probably like 10 of them, maybe.
Yes. Well, maybe, yes, the amount of them and then the actual dance moves. I think those were
right,
the
issues. Sure. Well, and I think that's the point is, well, and there's also part of the song where they're dancing and they start going.
Yes. Like, yes.
Like the breathing exercises that they encourage women in labor to do.
Yes.
But it made me laugh, man. It was so funny.
What is it called when your labor comes up? Oh, geez. Help me.
What is it called?
Contractions.
Oh,
contractions.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Your
that
labor.
Is exactly right. Yeah.
When your labor arrives, it's called contractions. So,
there's also this whole other, like, B plot story that it's kind of tied to vocal adrenaline. So, vocal adrenaline, they not only intimidate New Directions, but they also, like, egg Rachel. Like, they literally throw eggs at her in a parking lot. And also, at one point, the McKinley High kids go and like slash all the tires of the
Range Rovers.
Yeah, right. Like all these kids have Range Rovers somehow. And like Finn and Puck have to go get a job and they end up working at Sheets and Things with Terry. And Terry's like kind of creeping on Finn. I'm just like, there's too much. This episode should have been split into two. Like, frankly speaking, oh my gosh, yeah. There's like so much going on.
That was probably, something they probably got to this point where it's like, oh shoot, we got to kind of conclude some storyline. Yeah,
what are the things and that we Terry. Have to get in here before we
Yeah, end they had season. To get Terry in there, in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, Quinn. Back to Quinn. She does that with her pregnant sisters. And, wait, isn't that kind of it? I mean, that was it. Okay, the music. So we did A Man's World. We did Another One Bites the Dust.
Yes. Which is so, I mean, yes. I love Queen, period. They're one of my favorite bands. I like to play this game with people where I'm like, if you could create your own music festival and pick five like artists or bands to play, they're always in my top five.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what else do we got? We've got Tell Me Something Good.
That will sing to Sue.
Which is funny because I forget that's that was a Chaka Khan song, because sometimes when I hear songs coming from different people, cover artists, and I think more specifically Glee, I don't even know what the song is. Right. And that is so funny to me because remember I said I had that same issue with the Lionel Richie song.
Yes.
I did not know that was his song because it didn't.
Because it sounded so different in Lionel Richie. Like certain, I mean, not that each artist is not unique and individual and an icon within themselves, but like they don't sound like the person that wrote the song. So they're so different that it's like hard to recognize.
And then the I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
That was so funny.
It was like, you know, watching a musical movie when like everyone breaks into song at the store or something like that. Yeah. That was cool.
Yes.
That was cool. And they ended that abruptly.
Well, I think that was the point. So yeah, they're playing it in Sheets and Things and like Finn and Puck and all the workers are singing. And then Terry just like shuts off the radio, which stops the song.
Just like her.
And then we have Quinn's It's a Man's World. Again, so good. And then go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good. You're about to say it.
Oh, I was just gonna say there's a point in the story where like Will Schuster is trying to get the Glee kids to pick a funk song to help get them out of their funk. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a literal assignment. Good grief. And Mercedes Puck and Finn sing a song called Good Vibrations, which actually I love it. I will say I heard it first on Glee and then I listened to the original version. It's so but that's not actually funk, it's rap. And that was
and that's what he said.
Like when you type in funk music, like it's gonna pick up different things. It's gonna pick up actual funk music, it's gonna pick up artists. Like Good Vibrations is by a group called Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
I mean, it had funky in the title. That's exactly what they said.
Right.
Yeah.
It
was fun because they sounded just like the recording. I mean, there was small differences, but they killed it.
Mm-hmm. And the episode ends with New Directions. Like, they feel like they've identified a weakness in Vocal Adrenaline.
Yes.
Vocal Adrenaline, while they are amazing, they lack heart is kind of the gist. And so the theory is that when you lack heart, you can't really pull off funk. And so Vocal Adrenaline doesn't do funk because it requires character and
exactly
weakness and heart. So New Directions invites them back to McKinley High and does a funk number to funkify them.
Yeah.
And they do To No One's surprise. Give up the funk. And I've all, okay, so listening to this again, Kurt threw me off, and I totally forgot about he. So Kurt Hummel, who is, you know, very much a tenor, if not a soprano, sings so low, and like, I don't know if he's actually singing. I feel like he is.
I think so too.
It gives range, like it gives. Yeah. Oh, you don't only sing high; you can also sing super low and be very funky. Yeah. So good.
Or they also, you know, raise up the bass in the studio too.
Also true. Also yes. True. There is the production value for sure.
Well, no, that was great. I thought that was super fun to watch. I mean, I don't know who was in charge of the costume department once again.
Oh, you thought it was horrible? Yeah. I loved it.
It was getting 2004 again, mixed with plaids and bright colors. I can't. Mm-mm. I don't know. Funk, they should have put them in real era costumes for me.
Are you thinking more time period?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Because keep in mind, they are dressing them for the time of 2009, 2010.
So you're
right. Looked appropriate for the timeline that they were in.
Yeah. And that's also very true.
Also, high schoolers from Ohio. A little bit of a sidebar. It's really interesting to me to learn, because I'm not a fashion aware person. I know what I like, and I know it works for me. And I can look at something and go, "Oh, this is fashionable," but I can't tell why. Like, yes. I can't say what it is. I also, and I want to be like, I'm from California, and that's why I have this. But like, I grew up in California, where I'm surrounded by, like, tons and tons and tons and tons of resources, and not design. Like, I didn't grow up designer stuff. Like, I'm not that wealthy. Didn't grow up that crazy of a background. But to be in an area of the world where there's so much fashion and like people intentionally dressing in a way, like,
yeah,
versus like, growing up somewhere where there's less resources or there's less options available. And also, even though the internet was up and running in the 2010s, yeah, I don't know if people used it for clothing as much as they do now.
Yes, which is even funny because they even mentioned in the episode, they're like, was it, who was it? It was Terry, I think. Terry was like, oh, let's find you a song about funkiness. I'm just going to put funk in my iTunes and we're going to see.
Yes.
I was like, whoa, we did do that because we didn't have Spotify, Apple Music yet. So
even as much music on YouTube.
Yeah, iTunes had just like started to pop off, and that's like Glee around that time was one of the most listened to artists on iTunes.
It just
all worked together in their favor. Music was released on streaming services, and then they became that music and a version of that music, and then boom, iTunes. So you're right. You're making a great point about the time period, but the clothes are still ugly, and this is TV, and they should do better. I'm just kidding. That's a bonus. I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. It was fun. It was cute. It kind of showed the fact that they had heart and that they were just having fun, and they were showing that that's something you can't take away or mimic. The joy and the enjoyment of what we do, who we are.
Right.
And that was a huge statement. And I loved it because you had Jesse St. James and then his like co-captain who
she was hilarious. I like her.
Yeah, her name in real life is Tasia. But she was basically like, we don't have heart because we're like heartless robots or something.
Yeah.
She had said.
Yeah. We can't do funk because we're heartless automatons or automatrons.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so it was very true. So I love seeing that. But then it's like, was this valuable to the plot or to what? No, needless to say, they made a great point with the funk as far as like, this is the new directions. This is how we could win, or this is how we're worthy of competition.
Right.
But will it actually show up at the competition?
And then it doesn't, yeah, sorry, like, spoiler alert, it doesn't even make its way to their final set.
They go in a complete new direction.
For the plot development, the only, like, really arguably important thing that happens in this episode is that Jesse St. James goes back to Vocal Adrenaline. That's the biggest... And I see you saying
and yes, and the divorce between Terry and Will Schuster is finalized.
Yes.
But yes, you're right, Jesse. That's the also my other issue. Jesse St. James barely was in New Directions. He was in a Madonna song. Uh-huh. He went out of town and came back in.
Right. And his I mean, this is all a cover. Like, this was the plan the whole time, right? But his thing, he says to the club, "You never accepted me. You didn't listen to my perfect ideas." You know, like, it's like, bro, you weren't even here. You weren't even invested. It's so funny. Well, I think he's just saying that because he was always going to leave. Like, it's not like it's not like he joined New Directions because he wanted to be at McKinley High. He did it to sabotage them. So.
He also said things that weren't completely untrue, but they weren't, like, you can confirm or deny them because he wasn't around long enough to really have an opinion.
No, and I mean, they didn't trust him, which it's like, understandably so, looking at what happens.
And there was, like, never really any moments where they, like, hung out with him either. He just showed up for songs, and that was that. And then he was still with Shelby most of the time, trying to mess up Rachel's life. So, yeah, he was not a valuable member of the Glee Club. Great performer, A+, but ultimately not a good guy, not a loyal guy. Loyal for the wrong reasons.
Well, he's loyal to himself.
Yeah, exactly. But still, he's better than Finn.
it's still so funny to see Jonathan Groff now. Because when I was first watching Glee, it's like, I didn't know who Jonathan Groff was. He was just a guy that played Jesse St. James on Glee. And, like, now, like, having seen him in, like, TV shows and movies and Hamilton, like, all these, you know, not that Glee isn't a big deal, but, like big, big, big productions.
Right.
Like, it's so funny to see, you know, young 20-something Jonathan Groff being a high school student in Glee.
Hilarious. No, I agree. And I think that I also wanted to say about Quinn too in the last song. She was really killing it. Did you see how she was fresh?
Yes. She was
dancing
her heart out. She was
and her hair is flaring, and she was doing
she was doing some real hairography right there.
Yes,
yeah,
she was.
I thought the same thing. I was like, Quinn, yes, like, because Quinn is now coming out of her trying to be perfect, trying to be the cheerleader, trying to be the good Christian girl that's like holier than thou. Like, she's kind of breaking out of these personas that she has forced herself to live into for the sake of a certain image, and now that she like can't even keep up that image because she's pregnant, and that being, I mean, not that you can't be those things and be pregnant, but you know what I mean, like, it, but she is coming into her own, you know what I mean, like, she's discovering who she really is, and you can almost you can kind of feel that in the last couple episodes, but really in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I love
it. She's having
fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that carries her to the next episode, which is also the finale.
Ah, oh my gosh. So, okay. So there was so, like, we spent this whole episode talking about the plot and the music, which is really fun. There's so much that happens.
Yeah.
And looking at the final episode, we have Journey to Regionals. They are New Directions is going into this, like, we have to place or win in order to keep Glee. All of the pressure is on them. As always, Sue Sylvester is cooking something up. But yeah, it's wild. I can't believe we are on the precipice of the final episode.
Ooh, precipice. Porpoise. Yes. And
Press the pause.
I am really excited and also a little bittersweetened by the fact that it's our last episode coming up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I won't stay in this funk knowing that we have so many great people who are listening and fans and just the new experience in our tour belt. And we're just really excited that we made it this far. And we're really thankful.
Yeah. And it's funny is, like, we weren't even sure if we were going to do every episode or if we were just going
right.
to pick a couple or if we were just going to talk about tribute episodes. I've loved rewatching this, you know?
Yeah.
And going, like, oh, their outfits, or oh my gosh, I forgot about this song, or just the character development. So good.
Yes. No,
so good.
I like revisiting. And at this age,
including,
too, because.
Including our character development, Jasper, and how we've changed throughout the last couple of months.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Yes. And the fact that revisiting this in our late 20s, because when it came out, I don't even think we were in high school yet. Or
it
we
came
were
out,
starting high school.
I was
oh,
a
no.
freshman in high school the
okay.
first season of Glee.
Well, I had to be a sophomore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it was like, oh, it actually was relatable. But it wasn't, because no one really sung in my school except choir. And they were not entertaining. Okay, so anyways, needless to say, it was great this year. I don't know. I'm just really grateful for this moment right now.
Yes.
A
moment
like
this.
Some people, wait, we sung the same song.
Yep,
some people wait a lifetime.
For a moment like this.
Oh, right. Well, on
we
that
love you, note, Kelly. We love you, Kelly.
We shouted out to her plenty of times. She knows. And we love
she
Kelly
knows.
Bowman too. Shout out to Kelly Bowman. She's the real deal. The child of destiny. So anyways, I'm going somewhere else. I think that we are good with this episode.
Okay,
and
awesome.
And we are gonna go into the thumbnail.
Woo! Well, you guys know the drill. If you enjoyed what you heard, please leave a review. Hoping for some reviews, even if they're not positive. Like, I'd love some feedback, but we know it'll be positive. So, but yes, we love you guys. We're so grateful that you would invite us into your ears, wherever you may be. And we hope that you will join us in our final episode of To Glee or Not to Glee.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you, Jasper. I'll see you at the finale.
In the finale. Ta-ta for now.
TTFN.